Your speaker is Winfred Claiborne of Fayetteville, Tennessee.
Thank you very much. There is not a preacher on earth who has not agonized over what he ought to preach, and not just next Sunday or next month, but throughout his life. Shall I discuss only what some commonly but incorrectly call doctrine? Shall I preach on practical matters, such as family relationships and how to treat our neighbors? Shall I discuss the social and moral issues of our day, such as abortion, beverage alcohol, assisted suicide, and gambling? Is there any way to have a perfect balance in our preaching? Probably not, but we can surely try. Paul told the Ephesian elders, "Wherefore I bear witness this day that I am pure from the blood of all men, for I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God." Acts 20:26-27. I want to be able to say the same at the end of my preaching life. The prophets under the Mosaic covenant were required to speak only what God had revealed to them. The Lord said concerning the unfaithful prophets, "But if they had stood in my counsel, and had caused my people to hear my words, then they should have turned them from their evil way and from the evil of their doings." Jeremiah 23:22. You should have no difficulty understanding the work of the ancient prophets or that of modern preachers. Our responsibilities include standing in the Lord's counsel. If we want to know what to preach and how to preach it, we must not consult the writings of Norman Vincent Peale or similar authors. We must read and study the Bible to know exactly what God wants us to preach. If we want our preaching to be balanced, we must preach the whole counsel of God. That means the Old Testament and the New, grace and faith, faith and works, moral issues, and all other great truths of the Bible. If the prophets had stood in God's counsel and had caused God's people to hear His word, then the Israelites should have turned from their evil. Does that expression suggest to you that there is a kind of preaching which would prevent apostasy, or, if apostasy had occurred, would turn men back to God? Obviously, there are no guarantees. Some of the greatest prophets and preachers did the best of which they were capable, and yet members of the Lord's church went into apostasy anyway. How could there have been better preachers than Jesus Christ and His apostles? Yet long before the first century ended, some churches were already in apostasy or in danger of going into apostasy. In the very first century, Jesus told the church at Ephesus that it had lost its first love. Revelation 2:5. The churches of Galatia had so soon removed themselves from the grace of Christ unto another gospel. Galatians 1:6. The prophets in Israel during the years immediately preceding the Babylonian exile seem to have been more interested in promising security to the Jews than in teaching the message God had given them to preach. When prophets or preachers tell people, "No evil shall come upon you," they are not likely to make any radical changes in attitudes and activities. Some of the prophets did warn the Jews of the danger of being immoral, but many did not. The ones who did, like Jeremiah, were in danger of being persecuted and even killed. The Jews wanted to hear smooth things, but the prophets should have been telling them what would happen if they continued in their rebellion against God. It might have made a difference in the welfare of the nation. Preachers of all religious groups have sacred obligations to preach the Word, all of the Word, and nothing but the Word. The moral and spiritual conditions of our nation will not be changed for the good until we preachers have the courage to preach what God has given us in His Word. We thank you for listening today, and may God richly bless you.